God bless you, brothers and sisters. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, shall we all stand as we approach the Lord in prayer this morning? Ask Brother Mike Mabe if he would lead us to the Lord in prayer this morning.
Gracious Heavenly Father, Lord Jesus, we give you all honor and praise, Lord. Thank you for giving us travel and mercy as we came here this morning, Lord.
Father, we just pray that you have your way, Lord, in this Sunday school this morning. Yes. And Father, after this, we pray that you will have your way in the service, Lord.
Yes.
May your spirit not be hindered, Lord, that it can move freely amongst your people.
Yes.
Lord, we come wanting to hear from you, Lord, yes, to gain instruction from you, Lord, and guidance, Lord, as we walk through this journey.
Yes.
And Father, we just pray that you have mercy and forgive us of our sins and shortcomings, yes, Lord Jesus, and our iniquities.
Yes.
Lord, help us to become better brothers and sisters in Christ, Lord, yes, and to walk according to your ways and to let you take full control of our lives, Father, and live, yes, through us, Lord, for your honor and your glory. Father, yes, we pray that you'll speak through our brother this morning to us the words that we have need of. We ask these things in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Let's turn, if we would, to our Bibles, 1 John chapter 4. 1 John chapter 4, starting with verse 1. 1 John chapter 4, starting with verse 1. And the scripture reads, "Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist, whereof ye have heard that it should come, and even now already is it in the world. Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. They are of the world, therefore speak they of the world." Cosmos. Carnal. "The world heareth them. We are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us. He that is not of God heareth not us. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error." Amen. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of his word. Please be seated. Amen. Just continuing on that subject of the Antichrist spirit, going to go a little bit further this morning by God's grace. And so taking the basis, it's a spiritual battle that we're fighting. And Brother Branham spoke of in the Anointed Ones at the End Times that this scripture in Matthew chapter 24, talking about how it would be so close that it would deceive the very elect if it was possible. And there will be false Christs, false anointed ones at the end time. These things were to be manifest in the end time, which we're living right now. It wasn't for the other ages, it was for the end time, he said. And so if he speaks of these things, we need to pay attention to what he's saying. And so keep on our spiritual ears and spiritual thinking caps, because to know the mind of God is to know the Spirit of God, and we must have spiritual eyes and spiritual mind to catch what he's saying. So he broke it out in the seals about how there's angelic voices moving on in the room, but you can't see them, but it takes something to strike that crystal to reveal it to us. And so the mind of God has to be revealed to us by something, striking something to open that up. So I'd like to read this quote from the Revelation of Jesus Christ in the Church Age book. But just to capture this thought in your mind, see, the Antichrist spirit would come into the church and defile it, making it lukewarm, formal, and powerless. Antichrist spirit would come into the church and defile it, making it lukewarm, formal, and powerless. So we want to be hot in the Lord, right?
Amen.
We want to be on fire for God.
Amen.
And we don't want to reduce our thinking to carnal things, but God is trying to elevate us to thinking at a higher level. So you see what was in the seals and what Brother Branham experienced, and it was almost out of body, out of a mind experience, right? And sometimes it seems so far-fetched for us. And you say, well, that's maybe for the prophet, but God was showing us that he wanted us to come up higher to that level, okay? And it seems so out of this world because it is. It's so far from your own thinking and from the normal way of thinking, of the ways of the world. But it's the way that God wants to bring us to, and that's that last stage that he wants us to bring us to, into that third pool. And he says that sometimes a mind of God or a child of God is like a neurotic. You know, he speaks of a prophet, like different ones who had inspiration, and they would be in such a way that he said they would be like a mystic or a neurotic in their mind because they had caught the mind of God and got up to that level. And so, remember, only the eagles will be able to go to that level. I'm not trying to make things so mystic and oddball, but this is the way that God has ordained for us to go. And so he says in the seals that when the supernatural comes, it's so far away from your own thinking, right? And sometimes we look at the scriptures and the message of the hour and we think it means something, but it actually means something totally opposite. He says the way up is down. Now he says this in the God hiding himself in simplicity. He says this, think, everything will move just as common as it can be. A fanatic message will go by. And the first thing you know, something. No, so he says a fanatic message. And so this message, if we go by it in the true sense that it's supposed to be, in the spiritual sense, it will seem like a fanatic message, but there are many that are trying to bring this message to a carnal level. Do you understand what I'm saying? It's something that you can live on your own, that you just have to obey a set of rules. But it's not so. And the first thing you know, something, this minister going somewhere, he never come back. He probably went to the woods a-hunting. He never returned no more. And this fellow went somewhere. You know what happened? I believe that young girl, she must have been caught away somewhere. You know, somebody take that girl out and ravish her, probably throw her in the river. She was with nobody. So it's totally secret from the rest of the world. That's what they're thinking, but in actuality, this person has gone in the rapture. Probably throwed her in the river. She was with nobody. Half of it. 99 out of every, may say 1 out of every 100 million would ever know anything about it. See? Lest somebody that's acquainted with her say the girl is missing. Why, I can't understand. She never did leave like that. Brother Branham said it would be like this, the rapture. Remember how the disciple says, wasn't there supposed to be Elias come? And he says, it's already happened. He said it'll be the same way with the rapture. The rapture will come. And they said, wasn't this supposed to happen? Wasn't this supposed to happen? And he'll say, it's already happened. Because the judgments will strike and they'll be like, what happened? But the rapture already came. And when they say the graves will open, how is the graves going to open? When I haven't got time to get into this, what I wanted to, I'm going to have to take this, see, just to show you the simplicity of God. And that calcium, potash, and everything, when everything that's in you of materials only makes a spoonful, that's right. And what that does, it breaks on back into spirit and life. God just speaks and the rapture will come. It ain't going out there and the angels come down and shovel up the graves and get out an old dead carcass there. See, that's carnal. He says, what is it? It was born of sin. Now, to begin with. But a new one, made in its likeness, you know. See, if we have this, we'll die again. See, nobody. You say the graves will open. The dead shall walk out. That may be true. But not open the way you say open. See, that's right. See, it won't be like that. It'll be a secret. Because he said he'd come like a thief in the night. He's already told us this, the rapture. And so if you remember in the scriptures, in the message, when he spoke of the unveiling of God, And he spoke that he said, the way that he reveals him sometimes is this angle, and you'll totally miss it, but then when you turn it this way, then you see it. So, for example, the men walking on the road to Emmaus, Jesus was walking in with them in another form, that it was hidden from their eyes. And so when God turned it at another angle, then their eyes were open, they received the revelation, then they could see that was Jesus Christ. Amen. And so the same thing when Mary was in the garden of, after Jesus rose from the dead, she couldn't find Jesus, and then the gardener spoke to her and says, "Why are you trying to seek the living among the dead?" And then she says, you know, I'm just looking for my Lord. Where have they laid him, right? And she's speaking right to Jesus, but yet she cannot see him. And so when something happens, he says something a certain way, then the revelation struck. She said, Mary, says, Rabboni, right? And then she recognized it was him. And so that's the same thing. It seemed so. The world and the devil, the Antichrist spirit, wants us to come to think of God on a carnal level. We talked about that last week, about the difference between Cain and Abel, the difference between the carnal and the spiritual. So close. Remember, they both worship God. And remember, Brother Branham says the Antichrist spirit is a religious spirit. Brothers in the same church, the same congregation, they both worship God. They both had the desire to worship God. Both of them sincere. Right? Brother Branham says Cain was sincere with what he did. And then he did what he thought was right. He brought up the fruits and vegetables of his own handiwork. He worked for God. He wanted to give something to God. He wanted to approach God. Right? And so Abel, the only difference was it the revelation. So Abel received a revelation of God and showing that it was not the fruits and vegetables, but it was the blood. And so this, did he deserve it? Did he earn it? No, it was given by grace, but yet he received that revelation. And so he knew how exactly to do this, even though it was different from what he thought he should do. Different from what everybody else thought he should do. Different what Cain and Abel, you know, this looks nice. Nice church. Everybody beautifully dressed. You know, everybody worshiping clean. Everybody looking clean and nice and everything like that. We have to be careful of what things that we're looking at. You know, somebody comes in the door with a miniskirt or something like that. How are we going to look at them? You know, there's a story of Brother Branham when he got bawled out about, you know, he had a woman. It was talked about in God being misunderstood, that message. But there was a woman that was playing the piano, and she wasn't dressed quite well. Maybe her skirt was a little bit shorter. Maybe her hair was a little bit shorter than it should have been. And he says she was a babe in the way, but he got bawled out. He says, "You a Pentecostal minister, you know, and letting her play the piano like that." But he said, you know, she had a good spirit about her. And then he talked about somebody else that was at this other minister that was bawling him out, his congregation, long hair, long dress, but with a temper to fight a buzzsaw. So which one's better? See, God is looking for the right spirit, the right attitude, right? He makes that statement. He said, "I'd rather have the wrong doctrine and the right spirit than the right doctrine and the wrong spirit," right? So God is looking at the heart. God is looking at the spirit. And so we have to, Brother Branham said, you know, when we're talking about the move of the Antichrist spirit, he says that it comes in so slowly and gently and just comes in and sits right among the people. And if you remember the message, Christ is the mystery of God revealed, he'll come in and sit right amongst the people for years and just sit there. And all of a sudden, something will move on that person, right? Just like Judas. Remember, all of a sudden, Satan moved in the heart of Judas Iscariot. And then he began to start to do something. And he began to move in that direction to betray Jesus and have him killed. And so, this spirit moves in, and it says it can be an unbelieving spirit, a critical spirit. We've got to watch those critical spirits and unbelieving spirits. And when we say unbelieving, we're talking about with the Word. And we're talking about the Antichrist spirit against the Word. And what is the Word? The Word is God, but it's the Logos, the mind and thought of God. Remember, the Word is a spirit or the thought, or the Word including the spirit and thought of God. And so remember, the Pharisees, they had the printed Word of God. They had Moses' message, but they were using it in a carnal way, right? Wash not, touch not, handle not, right? And he says, you know, you strain at a gnat and swallow a camel. You do all these little things like this. You're concerned about washing hands, but you omit the weightier matters, such as faith, love, judgment, all these other things. And so the Antichrist spirit will move in, and Brother Branham talks about the white horse. It seems harmless. Has a bow, no arrows, no power, but just kind of sits there and just kind of, you know, gets along. Just kind of like the serpent with Eve did. You know, just kind of, you know, walking and talking with Eve, you know. I'm sure he was doing that for a while because they had a long time, you know. It's not like he just, all of a sudden, after he was created, started trying to deceive Eve. I believe it happened over a process or a period of time. And then he began to help her to get her guard down. Began to talk smoothly. Remember, he's a smooth fellow. He says in the message here how smooth he is. He says, it behooves you, my brother and sister, to consider what you're listening at. Don't you never underestimate Satan's power of deceiving. Don't you never underestimate him. He's smooth as he can be. And the Antichrist spirit isn't communism. No, the Antichrist spirit is so close like the real thing, it'll deceive the very elect if possible. So he talks about it being smooth. So Satan, through the serpent, was very smooth. And then he began to just changed a little bit of the meaning of the word. And I'm not going to go into too much in depth, but remember, he changed Lord God into just God only by itself. And then he began to move from there into other words, you know, thou shalt not surely die. And so it was very smooth, right? Adam was not there, and so he did it in a very subtle way. And so the Spirit moves in that way. Now, in the restoration of the bride tree message, Brother Branham talks about, the palm worm, the canker worm, and those things, how they destroyed the bride tree. So remember, after Pentecost, then there was a bride tree that was fully formed. There was love, there was fellowship, there was the fruit of the Spirit, there was unity, there was the solid doctrine that Jesus gave to the apostles, and they were teaching that, they were manifesting that in that first church age. It was a very powerful church age. But Satan, little by little bit, began to tear apart that bride tree. He began to take off the fruit of that tree. He began to take off the leaves of that tree. He began to eat the bark of that tree. And then he got to the very life of that tree until that tree was no more, and it was dead. But God said that I will restore, amen, right? Amen. And so that tree that was dead would raise up again.
Amen.
And so it would raise up. The tree would come up. It would get its life. It would get its bark. It would get its leaves. It would get its fruit again.
Amen.
But he says this. He talks about how this tree was eaten up. And he talks about the fruits on it being the fruits of the Spirit. He talks about it being brotherly love, right? And then the leaves being fellowship. And then the bark being the protection, the doctrine, right? And so when you see that an Antichrist spirit is moving amongst, then you can see that it starts to eat up first at that brotherly love. Because that's, remember, it goes in stages. It starts a little bit. Remember, it says the first bug was a small bug. Then it came bigger and bigger, right? And so the first horse was a white horse. Then it became a red horse, a black horse, then a grizzled horse. And so he's the same devil, but he manifests himself into a different form. And as he's given power, then he takes that power, right? But if we're not giving him that leeway, then he won't have any power. Now, so he says this in the message. He says, he knows, talking about Satan, there's a people can get the true revelation of the true church and what she is and what she stands for, and that she can do the greater works. She will be an invincible army if they get a true revelation. Remember, revelation is something that's revealed to you and God makes it known, and you cannot be deterred at all from it. Amen. Because it's something that sinks there and no one can take away. It can override what you see, taste, feel, smell, or hear. Amen. And we all that have received that revelation know exactly what I'm talking about. Now I'm going to give a personal example. When I was 21, I came into the message. And, you know, everybody has their own testimony and how God brought them through. And so there was a man who knew the message, and he introduced me to it after God began to draw me out because, you know, all of us are in sin and denominationalism and, you know, doing things that we ought not to do. And whenever I was around this man, I always felt that, you know, I was doing something wrong because he was doing right. And he began to throw some scriptures to me, different ones, and then he showed me about the water baptism, and I didn't understand it. I said, why are you showing me about this water baptism? He says, why does it say here, baptize in the name of Jesus Christ, and why does it say here, baptize in the name of the Father, Son, Holy Ghost? Why is it different? And then one day, by God's grace, he revealed it and opened it up to me, and he says, wait a minute. The name of the Father, the name of the Son, the name of the Holy Ghost is Jesus Christ. And it was something that just opened like that. I wasn't looking for it. Just all of a sudden, God put it down there. Amen. And so when I received that revelation, then I said, I must be baptized. I need to be baptized correctly because I was baptized in the name of Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. And so I wouldn't stop until I got baptized, right? Amen. And so then, you know, eventually he introduced me to the message of the hour, Church Age books, Seven Seals books, and all the tapes and different things. And so everything opened up. You know, I began to see the life of Brother Branham, how when I read that book, A Man Sent from God, and I was reading the scriptures at the same time, I was reading through the Gospels, and I said, wait a minute, everything that this man did is patterned after the life of Jesus Christ. And it just became so real that that was the case. And I said, I know this is true. And then I said, I want to really listen to what this man says because I can see that Jesus Christ was living through this man. Amen. So as I began to move on, then the persecution struck. And so as we began to move in our Christian walk, we are getting persecuted. And God knows how to allow us to be tested for whatever reason it is, to show us where we stand, to let us go through that so that when we are successful later on, that we can stand more firm because knowing that we had something in there that kept us. Amen. And so the revelation was very powerful and strong in my heart, and the persecution came from my own family. I was a single man about 21, 22 years old, and then my dad being a Assemblies of God pastor and my mom being Assemblies of God pastor as well, so that could be difficult. And so as I was beginning to see the revelation, then I began to share with them because I was excited about it. And so they didn't take it too well, though. Instead of being excited, they started to get upset. They got mad. And then so my dad threatened to disown me. And, you know, I was very close to my family. And so God knew how to push me, right? And take me through that difficult time in that fire. And so my dad, you know, said to me, he said, why don't you just, you know, I don't know about all this Brother Branham stuff. Why don't you just read the Bible for 6 months and see what happens, you know? And, you know, I wish I could say, I could proudly say that I said, no, I'm not going to be able to do that. But I didn't. And so I said, okay. And so, you know, many of us, and I can admit that I failed in my walk many times. So I said, okay. And I know from that day forward, I had a difficult time in my walk with the Lord. In fact, I was in a desert for about 6 years or so and struggling after that one decision. But, you know, I can identify with what Brother Branham talked about in his life when he had made that decision about evangelism and how he didn't follow what God said and he followed what his mother-in-law said and all those things happened to him, right? And so I could see that. But something deep inside said, I know that this message is true. Amen. The whole time, even though I was struggling, you know, I happened to be located at different places where there was no message church. And so I was struggling, and I was in a desert. I was, you know, it was very dry, and I struggled to pray. I struggled to read. You know, when you first come to the revelation, then everything is like, it's watery, it's juices flowing, it's like a land flowing with milk and honey, right? And it's joy all the time, but it wasn't like that. And so, but something deep inside said, I know I received the revelation. I know this message is right. I know this man is a prophet of God. I know that what I have read in the seals is true. And so I struggled for all those years. And, you know, we think that we're searching for God, but it's God doing something with inside of us. And he's pulling us, right? When we came to the Lord, it wasn't us seeking God. It was God pulling us to him. Because all of a sudden, we had a desire to know God that was just given to us. It wasn't something that we generated within ourselves. And so, then something within me was crying out because I said, you know, there's more to this than I know because I read about it. And I know this is true. And I just, you know, I struggled. I had people pray with me. I prayed. And I said, Lord, help me. And that happened for a year or 2 years. You know how that is. You know, when you're struggling and you're thinking, God, where are you? I know that you're right. But why do I feel this way? Where is the joy of my salvation? But then, all of a sudden, by God's grace and mercy, somebody called me. I didn't know who this man was. I didn't know where he came from. But he knew my name. And he called me. And he said, Brother Tim, I just want you to know that I want to encourage you. I want to help you in your walk. You can't explain the supernatural. And then he began to visit me. And you know, he spent time with me. And then he told me about what God was doing today. You know, not what I read in the message, but what God was doing today in people's lives. And then he gave me some messages because, you know, there is a spirit, there's different spirits with different doctrines out there. And some of them have you believing that Brother Branham is your pastor. Now, when I say that, you know, we know that he's a church age messenger. He's a messenger of the age. But God has called God-given pastors for us in this day. People that are still living with flesh. God in human flesh. And so, because I had been told this by different people, said, you know, Brother Brams, you're a pastor. That's all you need is, you know, the tapes and different things. And give your money, your tithes to Jeffersonville. And so I was under that. But, you know, as he began to talk to me and show me what was in the message and what the scriptures, and then letting me listen to the fivefold ministry that was working in this day, then it began to open my eyes. And it began to be like scales falling down. And then I began to receive the joy. Amen. And I began to be revived. It was like that scripture where David was encouraging himself. I wasn't encouraging myself. However, the Lord was encouraging me. And then he brought me to, you know, church where there a lively bunch of folks that believed in this message. And, you know, I began to get in that atmosphere, and I felt like I was born over again, you know. And so then God began to bring me further and further. And then, you know, eventually he led me here to be under a God-called ministry. And then, you know, I began to grow, and my family began to grow, and then God did all these things. And so what I'm trying to say is that when the revelation strikes you, it will take you through anything and everything that you can see on this earth. Whatever difficulty, it will sustain you through that.
Amen.
It will not leave you. And that's the revelation he's talking about, that the gates of hell will not prevail against it.
Amen.
True revelation of the two spirits within the framework of the Christian church and by God's Spirit, discern. That means know what it is, where it is, and withstand that Antichrist spirit. Satan will be powerless before. So he will just be that white horse. You understand? He won't turn into anything more, but he'll be there. Now, how do we handle that spirit that's working amongst us? Because some of the disciples said, you know, when they ran into opposition, they said, shouldn't we just call fire down from heaven and consume them? Right? That may not be the best way. So I'd like for us to shift gears here and go to another scripture in a different part of the message. Now he says here, there was a son of perdition from hell, come from hell, returning back to hell, taking back the unrepentant sinner. If thou be, thou question mark on God's word, if thou be the Son of God. But this other one never tried to figure it out. And so that's what this Antichrist spirit does. It tries to get you to question the word of God.
That's right.
And he does it in secret. If you remember in the Pharisees and Sadducees, remember they did try to challenge Jesus openly in the beginning, right? They asked him questions. They set a trap. Is it lawful for us to give tribute unto Caesar? You know, they did all this to trap him, the Bible says. They weren't trying to find the right answer. They were trying to find an angle where they could get him stuck, right? And then Jesus answered the question wisely. And then there was another question. Jesus answered that one wisely. And there was another one. And after a while, they began to stop, right? Because they couldn't say anything anymore. But then what happened? They were beginning to move in secret, behind the scenes. And so talking about Jesus, he's just doing this, you know. He's against the law. He's against the Sabbath. He does this and this and this. And so they were using the law or the message at that time, and they were criticizing Jesus, and they were doing it behind the scenes. And then eventually got to the point that they were afraid to see him openly, right? He says, the scripture says, he did these things openly, and they say nothing, you know. So, but he always tries to put a question mark, you know, why is that brother doing something that way? You know, what about that sister? Why is she doing it that way? You know, and never really going face to face. So he says, you say, I got the Holy Ghost, Brother Branham. I ain't got, okay. Now let me skip over here. Now he says this, it's your faith that saves you. See, many people, they're just as pure and clean and yet a lot cleaner sometimes than people who profess Christians live, but yet would deny the Holy Ghost. So is clean living an indicator that somebody has the Holy Ghost? Well, you know, a true child of God will live right.
Amen.
Now, they live right, why? They follow this word, why? Because of love. Because God loved them, you know, when they were doing wrong, when they were in the muck and mire of sin, then God reached out his hand by grace and pulled them out, right? And it says in the scripture, we love him because he first loved us.
Amen.
And so because of that power of love is overwhelming. Those of us who have truly witnessed grace, I believe many of us have, when you receive that grace, it's so powerful that, you know, it's just, you just melt away.
Amen.
Because how could I, you know, why, Lord? Why me, right?
Amen.
But he has given it to us. Now he's, sorry, I'm losing my train. He says here, pure and clean. So we, by love, because of love is why we obey him. He loved us, and we want to do everything that we can to please him. We don't do it because we fear we're going to be beat up over the head. We don't do it because we fear we're going to hell. But we do it because we love him, and so it's not a chore. It's easy. Now, let me see. If you turn with me to the scripture, Matthew. Matthew chapter 11. Verse 25, Matthew chapter 11, verse 25. At that time, Jesus answered and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent and hast revealed them unto babes.
Amen.
So he's hid them from all those people that think they know the word of God. They have that attitude. And he's hid it from them and has revealed them unto babes.
Amen.
The humble. Those who don't even think much of themselves.
Amen.
Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in thy sight. All things are delivered unto me of my Father. No man knoweth the Son but the Father. Neither knoweth no any man the Father save the Son, and he to whomsoever the Son will reveal him.
Amen.
There it is again, Revelation. Now it says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest.
Amen.
Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart. And ye shall find rest unto your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light.
Amen.
And so you take the message of the hour, you take the scriptures and you take the holiness of God and what God requires of us, and if you try to do it by your own ability or a carnal way of, okay, do's and don'ts. Do you understand what I'm saying? A set of rules. You'll fail. And that's why many people have left the message. It's because it's too hard. If you try to do it yourself, it's too hard. That's why they failed. Israel failed. And so God gave a different way. He gave us grace. Love and grace and love conquers all.
Amen.
And so even the situation, even though it seems difficult, even though the circumstances seem hard, by God's grace and love, we can overcome it.
Amen.
God gave us a way of escape.
Amen.
And sometimes it's even brought out in such a way, the message, that it seems so hard and difficult. And you've got to do this, and you've got to do that. But this scripture says, my yoke is easy.
Amen.
And my burden is light. Because Satan, he wants to pin us down.
Amen.
He wants us to feel condemned. He is the accuser of the brethren. And he'll use this very same message to condemn you. Right? That's what he wants to do. Because you, us, being message believers, we want to obey everything God says. And so, he will use sometimes that we are naive to certain things about the revelation of Christ and use that same word and pin us down to where we feel we're unworthy or we can't get out of the situation. Or Brother Branham will make a statement like this and then we say, well, I can't meet that, or I've done this, so I can't do this. I can't be bride, right? I want to read this, if I can here, and just bear with me here for a second. Because grace came by Jesus Christ. Grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Not just the law, but grace. Not just the truth, but grace. Now, there's a question that was given, Brother Branham. I mean, God being misunderstood. Let me see if I got it. Hold on, if I got it right. Okay, not that one. Please bear with me a second because this, I feel, puts this in the right perspective. Are we all happy?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Here it is. Question and answer is 1964, August 23rd. There's a question. Brother Branham, if a man has been married and divorced, isn't that awful? See, so many. Now, I'm not saying nothing against the people, just as on the people's minds. Sure, they're troubled. The rapture. People used not to think so much about that. It wasn't so much of it. But now, it's just plastered the world. He's talking about marriage and divorce. And the people read these things in the Scripture. And people elected out there is coming in to look at it and see it. And they're sincere. They want to know. You know, many of us in our hearts, when we see the Word of God and when we see that we need to be corrected, we want to be corrected. We want to come to that. We want to be right. We want to please our Father. He says they come with sincere hearts. They want to know. That's the reason I want to answer it just as with much sense to it as I can give it you. Has been married and divorced and then remarried of a woman who has also been married and divorced and then married to him. And these two can married in God's sight. Are they married in God's sight? How can both or one of them be in the rapture? Very difficult situation, right? And you look at the Word of God and how can I get out of this situation? I'm condemned. You can think that, right? How? I don't know. I couldn't tell you. The question is, can they be in the rapture? Divorce. Each one of them divorced. Each one of them has a living companion. Then they married again. Both of them married again. And now, this woman has a living husband. This man has a living wife. And now they've got children and so forth and want to come to God. Can they go in the rapture? That'll be up to the Heavenly Father. I couldn't answer that, see? Remember, Jesus, who was in the bosom of the Father, he had declared him. Jesus was the very heart of God. Remember, we saw the holiness of God in the Old Testament, but Jesus declared the very heart of God. Jesus showed himself as a Lord of the Sabbath. Remember how those Pharisees said, well, you don't do it exactly like the law says. You're not supposed to do this. You're not supposed to heal on the Sabbath day. But they missed the whole picture of God's grace. They'd rather him follow the Sabbath than for this person to be made well and whole. They lost the revelation of God. I saw one thing. The Bible said that they could be called an adulterer. They shall be called an adulterer. And the Bible said also, an adulterer will not enter the kingdom of heaven. That's all I can say. I know that just kills me to say that, but I can't say but what the Word says. I must stay with that. I hope that's all wrong. Now he says this. There is places in the Bible. I'm not advising you. Please, let me just give you a little scripture. Please. Please, don't. If you're living happy with your husband, living happy with your wife, please remain that way. Will you just for because I told you that, don't leave them, little children, without a home and things like that. God has made restitutions in places for people that did things wrong. Amen. You remember, Jesus said of David when he was hungry, he entered into the temple of God and ate the showbread, which is only lawful for the priest and is found blameless. The priests also blaspheme the Sabbath upon the Sabbath day and are found blameless. And a greater than the Sabbath is here.
Amen.
See there, let's just leave it up to God and go ahead and just live the way you just live for Christ now. Let's see. There might be a chance of you getting in. Don't make two wrongs, we'll never right in one. Just go on and live the way you are. If you're happy together. You might have the wrong companion. I'll say this one thing. If you've got the wrong companion in this life, you'll never have it in the other one. All wrongs will be made right. Remember the woman caught in adultery? She deserved to be stoned. But God's grace set her free.
Amen.
So we have a greater than Solomon. The law says this, but grace says otherwise. Right? Amen. Let's all stand. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord Jesus, we thank you for thy word. It's so precious to us, O Father. And Lord Jesus, we know the devil wants to pin us down, dear Father. But Lord, give us revelation, O Lord, to help us to clearly see, dear Lord. Help us to follow your ways, O Lord Jesus. Open our eyes, O Lord. This is the hour where the bride overcomes everything, even though everything looks so evil and destructive and immoral and everything. But God made it this way so that she would overcome every single thing that seemed impossible to overcome. So, Lord Jesus, make us overcomers as you had prophesied for us to be. Bless the song service, the preaching of the word, O Lord. May you bring your people into the direction we need to go, Father, according to your will and your ways. We thank you, O Father. In thy name, Lord Jesus, we pray.
Amen.
Thank you. Be seated.